Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us verse by verse through Ephesians, and coming up, we're taking an in-depth look at chapter 2, verse 14, and learning about how to experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. The message is called Christ Our Peace as we go back to basics.
If we were to go out and pull people from among the nations, asking them what the world's greatest immediate need is, I'm certain that peace would be right at the top of the list. Of course, we all long for peace in the world. We all hope for peace in our day. When we see the tragic things that accompany war, and we see things happening in, say, for instance, the Middle East, as we can just pick up a newspaper or turn on a news broadcast, and we see the turmoil, we see the unrest, we see the escalating conflict in the Ukraine and the issues there between Russia and the Ukraine. I was talking to a friend this morning after the first service who's just come up from Central America and living in a Central American country and ministering there, and he's telling me about the recent resurgence of violence and murder and things in the community. I was asking him, he's planting a church, and I was asking him how it was going. He said it's been getting very difficult. He lives in a community that is controlled by gangs, and the gangs have put a curfew on the people, and they're kind of revolting against the new government, which is a communist-based kind of a government. You hear these things and, oh, you know, you just, Lord, help. Peace. We need peace. And no doubt this is something that many feel would be the pressing need of the hour. We long for peace among the nations. We long for peace in our own communities. In some cases, we wish there could be peace in our families. Families are torn apart. There's conflict right within the family unit. And then it comes down to each individual person. We long for peace in our own hearts and minds. So a big issue, the issue of peace. The question is true lasting peace even possible? I mean, we haven't really seen that that is possible, have we? But yet the Bible does tell us that it is possible, but it's only possible through one means. There's only one way to attain it, and that way is through the one who is called the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the lack of peace among the nations, the lack of peace among people in general, the lack of peace in individuals' lives is due to the fact that mankind is in a perpetual state of war against God. This is the root of the problem. Now, generally speaking, we tend to try to solve problems by dealing usually only with the symptoms. And if you only deal with the symptoms, you never really get to the root of the problem, do you? And so this is the case. This is the case in the world at large. This is the case Sometimes, even in our own personal experience, we're just so often dealing with symptoms. We got to get to the root. The root cause of a lack of peace is the long war against God that man has been waging. And you can't have peace within yourself, and therefore you can't really be at peace with others. And we can't expect to be for the nations to be at peace until this issue is resolved. The prophet Isaiah put it this way: there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. There's no peace for the wicked. But there is peace for those who have embraced the Prince of Peace. And that's what Paul is talking about here in the second chapter of Ephesians, where he refers to Christ in verse 14 as he himself is our peace. So everything starts with peace with God. And so we want to talk today about four things. We want to talk about peace with God, peace within, peace without, in the sense of peace with our fellow man. And then fourthly and finally, we want to talk about the peace of God. But starting with peace with God, the Bible teaches that sometime in the very distant past, a war broke out in heaven, a rebellion against God and his rule. And according to scripture, this rebellion was led by a magnificent being known as Lucifer. And this rebellion that began at the instigation of Lucifer is a rebellion that continues to this very day. Now, according to scripture, at a certain point, this rebellion found its way to earth, and this great rebel leader was able, through deception, to enlist man in his cause. And so we found ourselves, as Paul put it earlier in this chapter, the first few verses, we found ourselves dead in our trespasses and sins. But not only that, we were walking according to the course of this world. And then he said, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. So this is a description of our complicity with this rebel, with Satan. This is where we previously were, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, and we were by nature children of wrath. We were by nature under the wrath of God because of our war with God, being at war with God. So there we were, co-conspirators with Satan, guilty of high treason against the Lord of the universe, fighting a losing battle, blindly marching to our doom, and God does the unthinkable. The unthinkable is that he offers us peace, peace at the price of his own blood to atone for our crimes. You know, this is the crazy, wonderful thing about the gospel. God's the one who offers peace. He didn't start the war. We started the war. He's not going to lose the war. We're going to lose the war. There's no doubt about it. But God in his mercy, God in his grace, he offers us peace. And he makes a way for peace. And that's the context. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about how we've been brought near by the blood of Christ, and how it's through the cross that he's reconciled those of us who were formerly in a state of enmity with God. In the letter to the Colossians, which is sort of, well, it's a very similar letter in some ways to that of the letter to the Ephesians. In the first chapter, verses 19 through 22, Paul put it like this. He said, "For it pleased the Father by him, by Christ, to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross." And listen, "And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death." So notice the way Paul puts it there. We were not only alienated, not only were we separated from God, but we were actually his enemies. And as I said, we were the ones who started the conflict. But God, as he's telling us here, through Christ, he has made a way for peace. So God has extended that olive branch, so to speak, to us. And our coming to Christ is our act of surrender. And that is where men find peace with God. This is where it all starts. I cannot hope to have peace in my own heart. I cannot hope to have peace with my fellow man. I can never hope that the world will be filled with peace until I have peace with God. That's where it starts. It starts on that individual level, and that takes place when I surrender. Now, we as Christians, we sing songs about surrendering to the Lord, and we're talking about, you know, giving everything over to God, and that's good. But there's an initial surrender that must take place, and it's a surrender more in terms of giving up the fight, laying down our weapons. It's the surrender that says, God, I give. You won. I'm now submitting to you. I'm now acknowledging your rule. I'm acknowledging your lordship. That's the term we find in the scripture, the lordship of Jesus Christ. So this is where it all starts. Peace, subjectively or experientially, first of all, has to begin between us and God. We must have peace with God. And then once I have peace with God, then I have peace within. And Jesus described this in a variety of different ways, calling people who were living in a state of agitation, living in a state of frustration, living in a state of discontentment. Jesus was always inviting people to come to him. And in doing that, he was promising that there would be peace as a result of their coming to him. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. One of my favorite verses. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, the word rest, you could just simply replace it if you wanted to with the word peace. Come to me and I will give you peace. So you see, when we come to Christ, this is one of the immediate benefits of having peace with God. The immediate benefit for us subjectively is we then experience peace within, because the conflict is over. I'm no longer fighting against my maker. I'm no longer resisting my creator. And so we come to that place. But notice the call is to those who are weary and burdened. This is a description of life, really. Life outside of Christ. Life is wearisome. It's burdensome. And we live with these frustrations. And we live in a state of agitation. Something just doesn't seem right. Well, it's because something isn't right. Our relationship with God isn't right. So when we come to Christ, he gives us that peace. But Jesus put it in a variety of different ways. In John chapter 4, we have the story of Jesus meeting this woman at a well in Samaria. And this was a woman who obviously had no peace in her life. She was a woman who had up until that point been married five different times, five failed marriages, and now she was living with a man. And, you know, that's not totally unusual in our day and age, but back at that time, that was rather unusual, and especially in the culture that she was from. Now, she wasn't a Jew, she was a Samaritan, but the Samaritans had a similar culture to the Jews. The Samaritans were religious. So here's a woman who obviously has internal issues. She doesn't have peace. How do we know that? Well, she keeps going from relationship to relationship to relationship, hoping, evidently, to find fulfillment. But she doesn't. So she has this encounter with Jesus, and Jesus says these words to her. He said, "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst." Now, the whole incident occurred around a well in Samaria, and Jesus was there, and this woman came to the well, and Jesus said, give me a drink. And she said, well, how is it that you, being a Jew, asked me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? John tells us Jews and Samaritans, they had no dealings with one another. There was strife between the two peoples. And Jesus said to her, he said, if you knew who it was who asked you, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you living water. And then she went on to say, you know, tell me about that. So there he said, whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst, but the water that I will give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So again, what Jesus is describing here is he's describing fulfillment. He's describing a state of peace. If you come to me, if you drink this water, or in other words, if you, going back to what we said earlier, if you surrender to God, if you give up the fight, if you give yourself to him and start living for him, this will be the result. You will never thirst, and the water that Jesus gives will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said a similar thing to a crowd that was gathered at the Feast of Tabernacles. He stood and said, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So you see, again, Jesus is describing this experience of peace within. This is the result of having peace with God. It results in peace within. There's a prophecy in Isaiah 66 about the future kingdom of God and about the future of Jerusalem there. And God says, he says, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. I will extend peace to her like a river. So this is what God intends for us. We can't have peace apart from him, but we can know true inner peace once we come to know him. Now, it starts with peace with God. It then goes to peace within. But then this results in peace without, in the sense that this will then lead me to live peaceably with other people. You see, the reason why people are at war with other people is because they're at war within themselves. James tells us that in James chapter 4, I think it's verse 1, where James says, "Where he asked the question, where do wars and fightings come from among you? Whence all of this conflict? Where does this come from?" He says, does it not come from the lust that rages within you? It comes from these insatiable desires. It comes from these longings for things that can never fulfill people and subsequently never give them peace. And because people don't have peace in themselves, they are at war within. They start wars with the people around them. And it might be with the people in your own home. It might be with the people where you work. It might be, you know, something broader in a community. But of course, when you think about nations in conflict, it's the same issues. There's lust. There's greed. There's the desire for power. And people think that by attaining these things, what are they looking for? Well, if I get this, I will be fulfilled. I will be satisfied. I will have peace. So when you do have peace, by having peace with God and then peace within as a result, then it lends itself to peace with people around you. And in the context of Ephesians, as we considered it last week, you remember Paul's talking about this irreconcilable difference between Jews and Gentiles had been resolved in Christ. Groups who formerly were completely entrenched in hostility toward one another have now been brought together. And this is the beauty of what we see happen when somebody comes to Christ. It makes for good relationships. It makes for peace among people. because the war is no longer there. And so there's the peace with God, the peace within, the peace without. But then there's one other thing that I want to take a few minutes and consider, and that's what the Bible calls the peace of God. The peace of God is a little bit different. And what it's referring to is it's the peace that God gives those who have peace with him in times of crisis or times of fear or times of uncertainty. Now, it's possible to be at peace with God, and it's possible to have peace within in a general sense, but it's also possible, as most of us know by experience, to have moments where we don't have peace, where we are fearful, where we are full of anxiety, where we are agitated over something. We still have peace with God. We still have, in the sense of ownership, we still own the peace within, but there's something that's escaped us at the moment because of a crisis that we're facing. And this is where we need the peace of God. We need God's peace to come and to be applied to that immediate situation. And the Bible speaks of how this takes place. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul says it like this. He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So Paul's writing to Christians, people who have peace with God. He's writing to people who would normally, under normal circumstances, have peace within. But because of the circumstances of life have brought this uncertainty or this fear or whatever it might be, the peace is lost. How do I get that peace? Well, he tells us right here. He breaks it down for us. Be anxious for nothing. The NLT, the New Living Translation, puts it this way. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So the peace of God, how do we maintain that? Or how do we get that during these moments of uncertainty or these times of crisis? Well, be anxious for nothing or don't worry about anything. Worry is the biggest waste of time there is. Did you know that most of what people worry about never even happens? It's never even going to happen. I think the statistic I read some years ago, not all that long ago, was 92% of the things that people worry about never happen. So that cut off a lot of worry right there, you know. 8% of the things you worry about, you know, could happen, but might not. But haven't we wasted lots of time worrying? I know I have.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Christ Our Peace, and the resource number is BBE0018. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.